Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into Howard Schultz's book, Pour Your Heart Into It, How Starbucks Built a Company One Cup at a Time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this isn't just a story about coffee, is it? It's more about how a CEO's like personal background and experiences really shaped a massive company.
Absolutely. It's fascinating because Schultz, well, he turned Starbucks from this little Seattle roaster into a global giant.
Right.
And his story is so relevant today because it really shows, I think, that a company can be incredibly successful because it focuses on values, on its employees, on the customer experience, not in spite of those things.
So it kind of flips the old business model on its head.
Exactly. It challenges that whole paradigm where profit is the only thing that matters, sometimes at the expense of, well, everything else. He linked passion, principles, and profit.
So the big idea is people are the key asset. Invest in them first.
That's the core of it. He always said Starbucks was in the people business, serving coffee. And by investing in your people, you build quality, loyalty, you build growth. Sounds simple, but it was pretty radical, especially back then.
Okay, let's unpack that. Where did this conviction come from? Let's start at the beginning, his formative years.
Yeah, okay. So Schultz grew up in the Canarsie housing projects in Brooklyn, New York.
Pretty humble beginnings.
Very. And he saw firsthand, you know, the struggles of the working class. Mm-hmm. But there was one specific moment, a really defining one.
What happened?
He talks about watching his father, who was a truck driver, get seriously injured on the job. And back then,
yeah,
well, there was no safety net.
Ah.
No health insurance, no workers' comp, just a real loss of dignity and security for the family.
Wow.
And seeing that, feeling that vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
it just stuck with him. He said it instilled this deep, deep desire to build a different kind of company. One that valued its employees, that gave them the respect and security his father never had.
That makes so much sense. That personal experience really fueled his later business philosophy.
Totally. It was foundational. So, okay, fast forward a bit. He gets into business, works at Xerox, learns sales and marketing.
Builds that business acumen.
Right. And then he ends up as a general manager for Hammerplast, a Swedish company.
Okay.
And it's there, kind of by chance, that he first comes across Starbucks. They were just a small client in Seattle.
Ordering a lot of coffee makers.
Exactly. An unusual number of drip coffee makers. And that little detail, that anomaly, it caught his attention. It sort of pulled him onto this new path.
So he flies out to Seattle in 81 to check them out. And this first encounter, it wasn't just a standard business visit for him, was it?
No, not at all. He describes it as this incredibly sensory experience. The aroma of the coffee, the passion of the founders, the knowledge of the staff. It was more like theater.
He was captivated.
Completely. Smitten, as he put it. It wasn't just about the product. It was the whole atmosphere, the culture around coffee.
And that led him to basically spend a year trying to convince them to hire him.
Yeah, talk about persistence. He finally persuaded them to bring him on as director of marketing and operations.
But then comes the really big shift, right? The Italian epiphany.
Ah, yes. 1983. He takes a trip to Milan, and there he discovers the Italian espresso bars.
Which are totally different from what Starbucks was doing.
Totally different. They were these vibrant community hubs, places for connection, conversation, a bit of romance even, not just about getting coffee beans, but about the experience of drinking coffee together.
So that's the aha moment. Starbucks shouldn't just sell beans, it should sell the experience, be a coffee bar.
Exactly. The third place, he called it. Somewhere between home and work where people could connect. It was a radical vision compared to the original Starbucks model.
And how did the founders react when he brought this grand vision back?
Met a brick wall, complete resistance. Mm-hmm. The founders, Jerry Baldwin and Gordon Boker, they were purists. Roasting beans was their thing.
They saw the coffee bar idea as?
As a distraction. Even sleazy, Schultz said they called it. They thought it would dilute their brand, compromise their focus on quality beans. A real clash of visions.
So what does he do? He can't convince them.
He makes an incredibly tough call. He leaves Starbucks, the company he loved, the company he fought to join. He decides to go out on his own to prove his concept.
Wow.
That takes guts.
It really does. He starts his own coffee bar, Il Giornale, The Daily.
And that must have been a struggle in itself, starting from scratch.
Oh, well, immense. He talks about writing the business plan, trying to get funding, facing rejection after rejection.
How many investors turned him down?
Over 240. 242, I think he said. It was humbling. He wasn't just selling coffee. He had to sell the dream, the story, the vision.
Did he get any key backers eventually?
He did. He kept refining his pitch, kept persevering.
Yeah.
And interestingly, one of the original Starbucks founders, Jerry Baldwin, actually became an early investor in Il
Oh,
Journale.
okay. Yeah. And Il Journale took off almost immediately. It worked. It proved his third place concept was viable, that people wanted that experience.
Okay, so his vision is validated. Then what happens with the original Starbucks?
Well, here's the climax. The original owners decide they want to sell the Starbucks retail stores and the brand name. They wanted to focus just on the roasting side, Peet's Coffee, actually.
So the opportunity comes back around.
Exactly. But now, Schultz faces this huge challenge. Raised $3.8 million to buy the company that initially rejected his idea.
A race against time, I imagine.
Totally. High-stakes negotiations, intense pressure. He needed significant backing. People like Bill Gates Sr., interestingly, played a key role in helping him secure the final funding.
And he pulls it off.
He does. In 1987, he buys Starbucks and merges it with Il Journale. He finally has control. He can now take that original brand and infuse it with his vision, his values.
Okay, so he's got the keys to the kingdom, finally, 1987. What's the first big move to really cement those people-first values?
Right, this is where scaling with soul really kicks in. He does something pretty revolutionary for retail at the time,
Which was?
comprehensive health benefits for all employees working 20 hours or more a week, including part-timers.
That's huge for retail. Still is, often.
Absolutely. And then there was Beanstock.
Beanstock.
Yeah, basically an employee stock ownership plan. He gave stock options, actual ownership to everyone, including the part-time baristas. He called them partners, not employees.
Partners, I like that. But I bet the board, the investors, they weren't exactly thrilled.
Oh, definitely not. Fierce opposition. They saw it as giving away profits. It's way too expensive. Why give full benefits and stock to part-time workers? It didn't fit the standard model.
So how did he justify it? How did he sell them on the idea?
He was incredibly persistent. His argument was simple, but powerful. Treat your employees like partners, with real respect and tangible benefits, and what happens?
They become more invested,
Yeah.
more loyal.
Exactly. They become passionate ambassadors for the brand. They care more. They provide better service. That exceptional service creates loyal customers. It creates a positive feedback loop, an engine for quality and growth that actually builds long-term value.
So it's not just an expense, it's an investment that pays off, flipping that traditional pyramid.
Precisely. Putting the frontline partners at the top, supporting them so they can support the customers, it created a really strong competitive advantage built on culture.
Okay, but then comes explosive growth. Starbucks went public in 92, started opening stores everywhere. How do you maintain that soul, that third place feeling, when you're scaling that fast?
That was the constant tightrope walk. It required immense discipline, obsessive focus on training, making sure every barista understood the coffee and the culture.
Consistency was key.
Huge. Consistent store design, the music, the comfy chairs, creating that familiar, welcoming atmosphere everywhere, but without being cookie cutter. And constantly reinforcing the core values, the mission, so it didn't get lost in the expansion.
And alongside this internal focus, they were also early movers in corporate social responsibility, right?
Yeah, long before it became a buzzword. Schultz really pushed for ethical sourcing of coffee beans, building direct relationships with farmers.
Fair trade, sustainability.
All of that, environmental initiatives, community involvement programs in the places where they operated. He argued this wasn't separate from the business.
It was integral.
Integral to the brand, to the long-term success. It was part of building a company people could be proud of, proud to work for, proud to buy from.
So looking back, his legacy is really about proving something fundamental, isn't it?
I think so. He showed that, compassion and capitalism don't have to be enemies. They can actually work together powerfully. He built this global giant by putting humanity at its core, offering a kind of blueprint for a more, humane way of doing business.
Okay, so if we try to boil it down, what were those fundamental beliefs, those core values that really drove him through all this?
Well, first and foremost, it has to be the people first, profit second idea.
Mm.
Or maybe profit is the consequence of putting people first.
Right.
That conviction that prioritizing your partners, the employees, with great benefits, with ownership,
Yeah.
that builds the passion and loyalty that leads to amazing customer service, which then drives long-term financial success. Like you said, in the people business serving coffee.
That framing is so important. What else?
Definitely the power of a visionary idea. That third place concept he got in Italy. That was his North Star. It guided him through leaving Starbucks, starting El Journal, raising money against the odds, scaling globally. He never wavered from that core vision of creating a community space.
And you can't have the experience without the quality, right?
Exactly. So number three is an uncompromising commitment to quality and experience. He knew the values wouldn't mean much if the coffee wasn't great or the stores weren't welcoming. So the best beans, proper roasting, rigorous training for baristas, the store ambiance, the music it all had to support the core idea.
Makes sense. What about managing the growth itself?
That leads to growth with a conscience. He was very aware that rapid growth could destroy the culture.
Yeah, you see that happen.
So it had to be managed carefully, with discipline, constantly checking back against the mission, never sacrificing the culture or the quality just for the sake of opening more stores faster. It was about growing right.
And how did they build the brand without just throwing money at ads?
That's authenticity as a brand strategy. He focused on creating genuine experiences, emotional connections, using storytelling, shared values, rather than just mass advertising, creating loyal fans, not just customers.
Which ties into the next point.
Yes, shared success. His belief that success is empty if you arrive at the finish line alone. That really drove things like Beanstalk and the comprehensive benefits. He wanted everyone to share in the rewards.
And finally?
Finally, the responsibility of success. This deep belief that companies, especially successful ones, have a moral duty to give back. To operate ethically, support communities, be good corporate citizens.
Mm.
It wasn't just PR. It was part of the company's soul.
Okay, let's zoom in now on three really pivotal moments. We've touched on them, but maybe we can look at how they truly transformed things for him and for Starbucks.
Sure. The first one, and you really can't overstate its impact, has to be witnessing his father's injury.
Back in Brooklyn.
Yeah. As we said, it wasn't just sad, it was the seed. It created the moral foundation for everything that followed. That sense of injustice, that determination that his employees would have dignity and security. It wasn't just a business strategy later. It was a deeply personal mission, correcting a past wrong. It defined his leadership style.
That link is so clear. What's number two?
Number two is definitely the Italian Epiphany in Milan, 1983. That trip, those espresso bars.
Yeah.
It gave him the vision.
The third place.
It was a flash of insight. Realizing coffee could be about community, romance, experience, not just beans. And even though the founders rejected it initially, that vision was so powerful, so compelling to him, that it fueled his departure, the creation of Il Giornale, and ultimately it reshaped the entire coffee industry in America. It was born from an emotional connection to what he saw.
A vision worth fighting for, clearly. And the third turning point, the one that brought it all home.
That has to be the acquisition of Starbucks in 1987. Il Giornale proved the concept, but this was the moment he could finally take the reins of the brand he believed in.
The $3.8 million challenge.
Exactly. Raising that money, winning that race against time against other potential buyers. It was the culmination of the dream. Getting control meant he could systematically embed his philosophy, the people-first approach, the third-place vision, the commitment to quality into the DNA of Starbucks itself. That acquisition unlocked the potential for everything that came after.
It's quite a story. So think about his journey, the struggles, the successes. What are the broader human lessons we can take away? What does his story teach us?
Well, one thing that just jumps out is the power of resilience and tenacity. I mean, think about it. 242 rejections for Il Giornale.
It's staggering.
It really is. It teaches you about having this almost irrational belief in your vision, doesn't it? And using every no, not as a stop sign, but as like feedback. Just sheer persistence.
It really underscores that entrepreneurship isn't just about having a clever idea.
Not at all. It's about the grit to see it through overwhelming odds. And related to that, I think, is finding purpose beyond profit.
Mm.
His story is a powerful reminder to, you know, seek work or build things that genuinely align with your own value.
Yeah, passion makes a difference.
A huge difference. It's a stronger motivator than just money, leading to more fulfillment and often better results in the long run. He clearly wasn't chasing dollars. He was chasing a vision rooted in his values.
And it took courage to stick to that vision, especially early on.
Absolutely. Which brings up courage to challenge the status quo. Leaving Starbucks, the company he loved, because they wouldn't embrace his vision. That took guts. It shows that sometimes to really make your mark, you have to go against the grain, make tough, principled choices, even when they're unpopular or risky.
Mm-hmm. And his leadership style itself seems like a lesson.
Definitely. I'd call it leadership through vulnerability and empathy. He was open about his background, his father's story, even his mistakes. That focus on employee well-being wasn't just policy, it felt personal. It shows that empathy, that emotional intelligence, they aren't soft skills. They're crucial for building trust, loyalty, a connected team.
Right. Strong leadership.
And finally, maybe the broadest lesson is about the entrepreneurial spirit as a force for good. His life demonstrates that building a business doesn't have to be a purely selfish act. It can be a way to create opportunity, to foster community, to make a positive impact, and yes, to build a more humane kind of capitalism.
Okay, this has been fascinating. To wrap things up, let's try to distill this down to three final takeaways from Howard Schultz and pour your heart into it.
All right. First, an emotional insight. I think the most emotionally powerful lesson is that deep, genuine care for people, starting with your employees, extending to customers, communities, isn't just the nice thing to do. It's the actual heart and soul of building a business that lasts, that people love. That empathy, born from his own family experience, became Starbucks's secret weapon.
So empathy as a superpower.
Yeah.
Got it. What about intellectually?
An intellectual insight. The big takeaway here is the business paradigm shift he proved. That authentic, values-driven leadership, putting people and experience first, isn't a drag on profits. It actually creates a sustainable competitive advantage. He showed, with incredible growth in data, that investing in your people directly translates into long-term financial success and market leadership. It's a smarter way to build value.
Makes sense. And finally, a universal lesson for anyone.
A universal insight. I think the most practical universal lesson is right there in the title. If you truly pour your heart into whatever you do, whether it's work or any worthwhile effort, and you combine that passion with integrity and just sheer tenacity, you can achieve things that seem impossible. Your deepest personal values don't have to be separate from your professional life. They can be your most powerful drivers.
Pour your heart into it. A great place to end.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.